JC2S, Part 2.
Number 16A.
So that seems to be the big point there. She shows, therefore, that temporary mistakes, that's life is mine. They're just plain temporary, because stately science pauses not within the Bible, within science, theology, and medicine, and within our consciousness. The mistakes of ignorance are powerless. They cannot, as I have said now, keep us from going forward. Terrific. So we all feel a little bit better, don't we? All right, now we go on to life as truth, as spirit. Now we see then, therefore, that this healing Christ spirit cannot be held back by the error of adhering to any opposing systems, even if at some time through our mistaken sense and we reject that forward development of the Christ idea because of these anti-Christ, universal, collective, and individual beliefs that try to mob rule us, that make us perhaps temporarily make the mistake to turn to other opposing systems. Even that won't keep us back. Even if temporarily we have gone off into spiritualism, as she shows here, and believe that principle God can be turned into its opposite. That's the spirit tone. Always comes in at spiritualism. Atheism, pantheism, theosophy, agnosticism. Generally that belief that God, the subject of the science of spirit, can be turned to its opposite. And we go temporarily to these wizards that peep. That won't even hold us back. That even if we dip into the second record of creation and make that a reality and become hypnotized by that talking, lying serpent of duality, that still is not going to keep back that forward development within our consciousness. Nothing will do it. So she shows this then by Max saying, by adhering to, well, that would be the opposite of letting the Christ operate in our life. We're not going to adhere to opposing systems. Opposing would be the opposite of spirit. By adhering to, we're claiming the opposite of life is truth. We're giving to ourself and claiming for ourselves these opposing systems. It's the opposite of that life is truth. Life gives and truth claims. So by giving our identity or claiming our identity to these opposing systems, the opposite of spirit, such as, and as I said, atheism, pantheism, theosophy, agnosticism, that can all be under the heading of spiritualism. All right, let's read that section now. 139:28 to 143, a very small section, but even if it's small, it always packs a tremendous import. She says, atheism, pantheism, theosophy, and agnosticism are opposed to Christian science, as they are to ordinary religion. But it does not follow that the profane or atheistic invalid cannot be healed by Christian science. The moral condition of such a man demands the remedy of truth more than it is needed in most cases. And science is more than usually effectual in the treatment of moral ailments. So remembering now we're at the point of that truth consciousness behind the textbook, which is coming to us through the first translation and reforming within us everything that isn't like that truth consciousness. Therefore, that Christ as the Christ is bringing us now that new theology, and it cannot be stopped or subdued in spite of error. Therefore, we're seeing this, and we just keep these tones as we come into this one of life as truth of spirit. Now, it can't, that life, which is truth, that wants to go forward, cannot be held back by all the spiritualism, as she shows. So we underline atheism, pantheism, theosophy, and agnosticism is just the opposite of spirit. Are opposed, of course, the opposite of spirit, to Christian Science. That living principle love. As they are to ordinary religion, as they are to ordinary theology. So they oppose that living principle love, that true theology, Christian Science. So Christian Science could be in all that. It could be the living principle love tone, or you could just have it in the life tone, because that's Christian Science stands here for true theology. It says are opposed to Christian Science, true theology, as well as ordinary theology. Broken line. But even so, she's saying, in spite of adhering to these opposing systems, it does not follow. It doesn't follow that way. That's the opposite of the way of life. You can't make this a way of life. That the profane or atheistic invalid cannot be healed by Christian Science. Even though the invalid at this point is one who is adhering to those systems of spiritualism. That invalid who adheres to those systems are still going to be healed by the Christian Science, by the Christ idea. Isn't that wonderful? The moral conditions of such a man, of such an invalid, who is adhering to these systems of spiritualism, demands the remedy of truth. Well, truth. More. Well, that's life. That sense of life lifts from. He demands it more, higher, more than is needed in most cases. And science, or this true theology, is more at the point of life. The abundance, the more, that this theology is going to give abundantly more, give more life here. That life which is truth is going to come in abundance of life in this situation. Is more than usually effectual. Effectual is usually a truth tone. In the treatment, in the remedy, in the truth remedy of moral ailments, well, in those impure ailments. So we look at our abstraction and we say, isn't this wonderful that even the opponents, the invalids, are just going to be flooded with this life power, that the Christ is coming to those opponents of Christian science, those opponents that adhere to spiritualism, the belief that God can be turned into its opposite, that big claim against Christian science. See, it's Christian Science versus spiritualism. Again, always referring back to the problem, as she shows in the fourth chapter. She says, regardless if they go against true theology, Christian Science, with their duality, that they're going to be helped by that life power, which is truth. So opponents benefited. So it's just as I've then epitomized here, that as life, that living principle love, as truth, is going to establish itself in spite of, as spirit, adhering to spiritualism or opposing systems. That seems to be the big point here. So that's wonderful. It just shows the impersonal operation of the Christ. It comes to every single situation and lifts all men from all impure conditions. Then we go on and say, well, that's wonderful that even spiritualism cannot succeed or subdue that life which is truth. And so you see, it begins to clear up that question we may have had when we earlier saw that was the big problem. Now she goes on with saying, all right, that one life, that true theology, that one life power as truth operating in our consciousness, that cannot be subdued even by the belief that God can be perceived through the senses, even by that big claim of one of the pillars of the sciences, theology and medicine, that try to reduce the understanding of God as coming through sense testimony and not through spiritual sense. Even that claim, it cannot hold back the ever development of that life power. So we see, all right, then we have that life, which is truth, is soul, cannot be held back by the belief. Belief is always a belief of mind. That God, here at this point, therefore, that this life as truth cannot be held back. So by the belief that life is truth, or God, that life which is truth can be perceived through the senses. Perceived soul, the opposite of soul. Through what channel? The opposite, that Christ channel there, that it can be perceived through. It's using another channel than the Christ. So you could use that as a Christ tone. Though I haven't it on the slide, you could use through as a Christ tone. The senses, the opposite of sense testimony. So this forward life power cannot be held back by the belief of perceiving God through sense testimony. All right, let's see what she says. 140, line 4. That God is a corporeal being, nobody can truly affirm. The Bible represents him as saying, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." Not materially, but spiritually, we know him as divine mind, as life, truth, and love. We shall obey and adore in proportion as we apprehend the divine nature and love him understandingly, worrying no more over corporeality, but rejoicing in the affluence of our God. Religion will then be of the heart and not of the head. Mankind will no longer be tyrannical and proscriptive from lack of love, straining out gnats and swallowing camels. We worship spiritually only as we cease to worship materially. Spiritual devoutness is the soul of Christianity. Worshipping through the medium of matter is paganism. Judaic and other rituals are but types and shadows of true worship. The true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. All right, so we go in and say, can I now hear that life as truth is soul tone, which is saying that this forward development of the life power can be held back by the belief that God can only be perceived through the senses. That's that philosophical belief, for example, of the logical positivists that say, well, you can't know God because God doesn't exist, because you can't perceive him through the senses. Then therefore, if you can't perceive God through the senses, then you can't know God. So Mrs. Eddy says that God is a corporeal being. That is the opposite of soul. Nobody can truly affirm. Nobody can say that's the truth. The Bible represents him as saying, "Thou canst not see my face." Face in the Bible is always a sense of soul, identity. Good. "For there shall no man see me," again that sense of seeing me, identify me, and live. Not materially, the opposite of spirit, but spiritually. So it's really saying not with spiritual, material senses, which would be the opposite of soul, but they're material senses. But spiritually, she'll say, with spiritual sense. So I feel the accentuation there really is on soul, not with material senses, the opposite of soul, but with spiritual senses, spiritually, soul senses. We know him. again, always having the liberty to do that, because if one read it wordy, we'd say, well, it's the opposite of spirit, but materially means material senses here, because it's under the consideration of soul. And spiritually isn't a tone of spirit here, but it's soul, because it's not with material senses, but with spiritual senses. That's what material and spiritual means here. We know him as the divine mind, as life, truth, and love. We shall obey and adore in proportion as we apprehend the divine nature and love him understandingly. Here is soul, as we spiritually understand him, the spiritual understanding of soul. Warring no more over the corporeality, the opposite of soul, but rejoicing, soul, the joy of soul, but rejoicing in the affluence of our God, life. But we rejoice now in the abundance of life. And it means that we are rejoicing in the affluence, in the abundance, really, of our God, of that life which is truth, which is soul. Religion will then be of the heart and not of the head. It will be then of a spiritual sense and not of any intellectual capacity. Mankind will no longer be tyrannical and proscriptive from lack of love. That would have a sense of persecution, huh? Mankind will no longer persecute that ever-developing life, which is truth, from lack of love, opposite of life. Mm-hmm. Lack of love. Love is a life quality, isn't it? That we love that life, which is truth, which is soul, so much that we're willing to give up everything for it, and we don't persecute it. Life tone, huh? We worship spiritually. Soul, we worship with the spiritual senses only, as we cease to worship materially with material senses. Spiritual devoutness is soul, spiritual devoutness, spiritual steadfastness, spiritual perseverance, soul, is the soul of true theology. Worshipping through the medium of matter or the physical senses is paganism, the opposite of soul. Instead of worshipping with soul sense, we worship through the medium of matter or material senses. Judaic and other rituals, that old theology, are but types and shadows of true worship, of worshipping spiritually with soul sense. The true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Spirit and truth here would be with soul sense. The true worshiper shall worship the Father life, which is truth, in spirit and truth, with soul sense. See, the spirit of truth adapted to this situation would be soul sense. I think we're beginning to see now how meaning is relational, aren't we? And how these terms are all coming back in meaning what it means within its context. And therefore, we're beginning not to have a wordy sense of text interpretation. It's wonderful. All right, now we go to that life as truth as soul abstract. And we see as the marginal heading, it says that God invisible to the senses. Therefore, that life which is truth, for developing life power, cannot be seen by the senses. Wonderful. How can it be seen by the senses? The logical positivists say, well, they're the ones that go against this. Do you know that school of logical positivism? It's that philosophical school that was very rampant when I was going to the university and taking philosophy classes in the late 60s, early 70s, when I had those classes, that where they're the philosophical school then that believes that one can only know reality through the physical senses. They really are the same philosophy, that same philosophy which is behind the sciences that say you can only know God through the senses. But those sciences are changing with people like Willis Harmon, who is a head of the Institute of Noetic Sciences in California, who also had been on the board of Stanford Research Institute. He has written a book and many books, called, one I can think of called Mind Changes. And in there I have had, before that book came out, an article he gave on how consciousness is causal reality. And I mentioned last year, I read a bit about that in class, where he shows, therefore, that the sciences aren't saying that they can only gain knowledge or awareness anymore through the senses. That there is a crisis going on within the sciences on the method of gaining awareness. And that they're seeing today that much more awareness is coming to the scientists today through intuition. And so this sense that the belief that knowledge can be gained only through the physical senses is beginning to be attenuated by the Christ idea in the world, in saying, oh no, there's something higher to the world sense, and that is intuition. And so many of the discoveries we know in science have come through sudden enlightenment. That these scientists say that they've been, but it comes to the prepared consciousness, doesn't it? Fortune favors the prepared mind, I think, as Louis Pasteur said. But they say that they go into their discipline and they read and they study and they ponder. And they begin to culture the categories of their science. And then they put whatever they're struggling away with. If there's some problem that they're struggling with, that a solution hasn't come, they put that away and they go out, let's say, and work in the yard or do something else. And then suddenly comes the solution. So they're saying it's as if that information germinates and then it comes to them, and they're saying it isn't coming through the rational process of reasoning things out, and they don't know how to say any more that the solution comes except it comes through intuition. And so many discoveries now, books are saying how what those discoveries are that have come to them that way. So Willis Harm is saying the old scientists of the old paradigm are trying to hang on to their beliefs that it can only come through the senses. It's breaking down this whole foundation of a physical science. See, it's taking it more and more into a mental science. But we know now that it is perceived not through physical sense testimony or even through intuition, because intuition can be just listening to the mob rule of the human mind still. That intuition can be coming from the collective unconscious. That's not even a safe method. That we know that our method of discovery of awareness is, as Mrs. Eddy said, that she learned her way through revelation. It came, her method of awareness was through revelation, reason, and demonstration. So it came to her through spiritual sense, revealed to her spiritual senses, and not through any other channel. So Christian Science is showing that we gain information through revelation, through the spiritual senses, and not through perception through the senses, or even through intuition. So we say, well, if the logical positivists at the time said, well, it could only come through the senses, and what we can't perceive through the senses, it doesn't exist, therefore you can't prove God. That's the argument that they say. And when you take their classes, one has to be very clever how to get around that if you're taking it for some kind of a grade, you see. I figured out how to get around it. It's possible. But you have to be very tricky, because they won't rely on intuition or inspiration or anything like that to know reality. So that goes against that logical positivist school and those dyed-in-the-wool physical sciences. And we say, of course, God is invisible to the senses. Because Mrs. Eddy says, God is not a corporeal being. What is God? If God isn't a corporeal being, then what is God? Well, we could say incorporeal. But incorporeal what? Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. What is incorporeal? Mind, spirit, soul, principle, love, Is that an anthropomorphic concept, as will come up as the life is truth is principle tone? Is that anthropomorphic? If God was anthropomorphic, a corporeal being, he would be, or she would be, perceived through the senses. But because God is not corporeal and incorporeal, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, what is God? It's, yes, and what is spirit? See, we have to keep going back to what is God? What are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love? Are they anthropomorphic? No, they're incorporeal. What to us as a science does that imply when God is incorporeal? It's law. God is a law. You can't see a law. And this is why, remember, when I showed again that term principle and just kept bringing it in and in and in, that Mrs. Eddy defined God as principle.